This season, we're doing a series called God is Near. Today, we're going to talk about Jesus and the Samaritan woman, okay? Let me begin by just telling you about a series, okay? So we're in this series of God is Near. So every series, we begin with the end in mind. We wanted a series to kind of bring everybody closer to the Christmas feel. So every one of us know that when Christ was born, the book of Matthew says that he shall be called, what's his name? Emmanuel, right? We knew that God sent an angel, and that's the name that we're going to call who God is. And it was very interesting because, naming is very important. So I got four children, right? Joel, Joash, Jaden, and Joanna. Every one of them was named to the best we knew about that child or the things that God puts in our heart about the child, right? So when Jesus was born, God wanted to tell the world the greatest way to think about God is that it's not how powerful God is. Did you know that? It's not how incredible God is, but how much God is with you. And I want you to know, with that thinking, you want to navigate the rest of your life. Because there are times in your life, things never turn out the way you wanted it to be. You wanted God to blast through something, but sometimes it doesn't happen that way. But God wants you to know He's with you. He's with you at the best and the worst of your season. He's with you at the most difficult stretching journey, but He is with you. You know, the power of with is incredible. I once sat down with my children and I asked them a simple question. And I said that, what do you all desire? You want a dad that supplied you for the next 50, 60, 70 years of your life and then never shows up. But everything taken care of, your car, your house, or everything. Do you want that, or you want a dad to be with you? Obviously, they were all very polite and nice. Of course, dad, we want you to be with me. So with that, I don't need to supply anything. And I'm just kidding, okay? But the power of with. When my wife was giving birth, why is it so important for the man to be with your wife in the labor room? Because they want you to be with her. They want you. Is that so? So as a good husband, I was with my wife, and I will never forget. She was laboring in pain. So she wanted to hold my hand. So I was wearing, by then, the ring finger still fit lah. After that, never fit again, okay? So she was holding my finger. And, you know, there's a way sometimes when your finger are all stuck, where they're all in the same position, there's no space. So every time she go into labor, she's like, she squeezed, you know, she said, so painful. And then I said, me too, okay? But that's the power of with. It's something about when you go through the hardness of life, and it is because. So I want you to know that God was very intentional. He never talked about He's going to be the most incredible, powerful God. And I know the God is powerful, but He wants you to know what is more powerful than the power of God is with you. So which is why He had that little title called Emmanuel, God with us. Okay, now. So I wanted to find a title for this message that is not God with us. So I decided to use God is Near. And the concept of God is Near actually stems out from not just only God with us, but a particular verse. And that verse was actually found in Acts chapter 17. Okay, and I think I remember last weekend it was Ned who preached, and then it was Acts chapter 17, verse 26 to 27. Okay, now let me just read, and you can turn to your Bible. It says here, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, perhaps feel their way towards Him, all very relational kind of a language, and find Him. And then He has that little phrase to test you whether you're opening up the Bible or not. Would you read together? One, two, go. The last phrase. Oh, you're not there yet. Acts 17, verse 27, the last phrase. Okay, Acts 17, verse 27. What does it say? Yet He is actually not far from each one of us. Okay, so the Bible tells us he's not far. And I like the way Acts 17 set it up, because Paul was actually preaching to a culture who figuring out who God is, just very much like our culture. Everybody is trying to understand who God is. You know, is he like that? Is he like this? And there are so many voices that tell us who God is. One of my desire, or one of my greatest pastime, is to help people, or wanting to know how people figure God out. I want to know what he thinks about who God is. I want to know what she thinks about who God is. I want to know how teens figuring out this God space and what is meaningful for them. And so Paul was talking to a particular culture, the Greek Athens culture, and who is trying to figure God out. And he told them, he says that if I can tell you one thing about this God, he's actually not far from each one of us. Actually, this kind of thinking has helped me very much in my journey of helping people to discover who God is. I find that the first thinking that helps someone to actually consider God is that he is not far. That's the best way to contemporize, if I can use the word, or if there's such a word. Or there's a simple concept to help people to think that there is this possibility of God. He's actually not far. And what every one of us needed to do was to actually to consider him, to feel, to invite, to talk to him, to have different ways. And last weekend was because Peter said, at your word, and that's the way you can encounter God, which is lean upon to believe what the Bible has to say. So just the thought about God is actually not far, I've helped a lot of people to eventually land at a point where there is God. So one of my favorite story in my early days of helping people to discover who God is, there's this particular, actually is a very bright young entrepreneur man. And he was trying to figure God out. Okay, and the reason he's doing that is because he has a girlfriend that is a Christian. So obviously, as every good Christian girlfriend says, why don't you try to discover God? So that's how he met up with me. So I told him this thing. I said, something about God is that he's actually not far, but you must reach out to him. And then he says, okay, he'll try to do that, okay? And so true story was, one day he was driving the girlfriend back from KL to Seremban, or actually he went to Seremban to visit her, more like it. And then while on the way back, he figured out that the car battery is going to die. Not too sure it's the wiring or the battery problem or it's both, okay? So pretty much the car started to shake and the light was flickering, you know? So in the midst of all panicking at about 1 a.m., no mechanic to call and no Ghostbuster to call, okay? Just in case, okay? Who do we call, right? And so he thought about what I told him. So while the car was shaking, he cried out to God. He says, Jesus, if you are real, help my car. Okay? And then he told me for about 1.5 hours, the car shook, you know, all the way from Seremban back to the front of the guard house, and the car stopped. Enough for the guard to come and help to push the car back to his house. So then he called me 2 days later and says, Pastor, you mentioned something about calling upon God. Does this sound like calling upon God? Of course, it sounded like calling upon God, okay? And then I said, great, you know, God. So he was so, you know, kind of happy. And then just before we hang up the phone, then he asked me, he says, but Pastor, I've got a question. I said, what's the question? He says, why didn't God took my car all the way back to my house, but only at the guard house? Before I can come up with a sensible answer, he says, could it be I haven't accepted him as my God yet? I say, of course. So with that, I led him to Christ, okay? Whatever works, okay? So it's a kind of a funny story, but just the idea of helping people to consider God, I've led so many different people. And I always tell people that you need to open up and invite God into your world. So one of our another church member that which is still in our church was he also came for discovering God, and then he's a chain smoker. So one day he came to me. He says, Pastor, he says, I don't know, I want to quit smoking, you know. I said, why don't you tell God? Why don't you tell God? You tell God that you really want to quit smoking and ask God to help you. He says, okay, okay. So he, you know, and he's actually he's a contractor kind. So he's foul mouth, you know. So the way he pray also, interesting, okay. Sometimes he pray, sometimes he scold God, you know, kind of a mixture of that, okay. So he was in his own mood, you know, and then 3 days or a week later, he called me. He says, Pastor, I must tell you this, okay? So I told God to help me, okay? And then he says, don't know, is this God helping me? He says, yesterday, he says, I took the cigarette and I tried to smoke. He says, the cigarette smelled like poo. Of course, he never used the word poo, lah. He used the S word, you know, he used whatever, lah. And then he have other languages to come along with it, okay? He says the cigarette really smelled like a poo, you know, and I cannot understand. So I thought this cigarette was outdated. So I took out a new pack. He says, smells like poo as well. Then, because he's a chain smoker, he has another pack. So he took out the third pack. Okay, all brand new. He says, all of them also smell like poo. He says, do you think God is wanting me to quit smoking? I said, I think so, okay? You know, and just that little idea that God is actually not far. Last year, me and my wife led someone, and this someone, what happened was, found out that when she was pregnant, found out that the baby has a genetic 3 chromosome. So I think that's my best way to describe it. And 3, that means that there will be struggle, you know, something not right with the baby. She wanted to abort. So she called up one of her best friends, which is one of our church members, and the best friend did not know what to do, called us up and said, hey, one of my friends wanted to abort a child. What do you think? How can I help her? So I said, why don't we have a Zoom call? We meet up with a person. And then, so when we met up with a person and we just encouraged the person, why don't you allow God? Why don't you don't abort the child? Why don't you invite God into your world? And you know, true enough, for 9 months, almost every month, my wife will pray with her, talk to her, encourage her. And the baby came out 9 months later, and it was a perfect baby. Even with 3 chromosomes, God was just gracious. And obviously, she accepted Christ immediately, or in the journey itself, she accepted Christ. I just want to say this, okay? The best way, if you have a friend that is trying to figure God out, the best way is not necessarily you want to cognitively and intellectually trying to debate. The greatest apologetics, I think, was to lead someone to really consider including God into their life and let God do what He is best at. And then we see what happened. And I can tell you stories after stories after stories. And the biggest concept is that God is near. Now, so we wanted to do this God is Near series is because we want every one of us to walk away every weekend remembering that God is actually not far from you. And I know that different one of us are at different spots. Some of us financial, some of us marriage, some of us depression, some of us maybe kids, parenting, all sorts. But I just want you to know that God is not far, He's near. And I want you to be able to reach out to Him. Okay, now, so this weekend, we're going to look at the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Okay, now, John chapter 4 kind of covers the story. So you can turn to John chapter 4. We will only look at a couple of verses. So John chapter 4 has a little story that Jesus was making his way back from Jerusalem to Galilee. So in the past, all the Jews will bypass Samaria because Samaria is smack in between Judea and Galilee. Okay, I should have just gotten a map. Okay, but I know your imagination is very strong. Okay. All right, so the middle part is Judea, Samaria, and then Galilee. It's as simple as that, okay? So Jesus purposely walked through Samaria, and one of those remarkable stories of God drawing near to a woman which is potentially the furthest away from God. Why do I say so? Because she is a Samaritan woman, okay? So I want you to read John chapter 4, verse 7 onwards, okay? A couple of scriptures, and then we'll land at one, and then we'll park there. So verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciple had gone into town to buy food. By then, there's no grab food. If only there's panda grab food, then don't have to do this, okay? The Samaritan woman said to him, You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Now, this Samaritan woman was one of those women who is furthest away from God. And it's one of those interesting passages to know that no matter how far you are from God, God wants to draw near to you. So this Samaritan woman has a bit of a history. First of all, you must understand the tension between the Jews and the Samaritan. So for the Jews, the Samaritan is considered half-breed. They were never the pure Jews because of the intermarriage with the Canaanites back about 700 years ago. So they never liked the Samaritan. They always treated the Samaritan as a second class. So which is why whenever Jesus uses the illustration of Samaritan to confront the Jews, it is really an insult to a Jewish people. Not only that, but she's a woman. So man and woman doesn't mix as much in those days. Woman is always considered second class. By the way, which is why the resurrection story of Jesus was so credible, because it was told by the women. It was the Mary, all those tale. And which is nobody, if you want to plan a plot to tell about resurrection, will use woman. Because woman was never respected. So this only reinforced why the resurrection of Jesus was so incredibly credible, because it was chosen by those who were the least credible to actually tell, to reinforce that is how incredible God is. Okay, now, so she's a Samaritan, she's a, number two, she's a woman. Number three, she is actually a very hurtful, and you can call it an immoral woman, because she actually had four husbands, and the fifth one that she's staying with is not even the husband. So Jesus knew all of that. So she was someone who potentially was so ashamed, which is why she came and to the well at noontime, because so that no one was there. You know, I'm not too sure whether have you met people that they were in those categories where they were so-called furthest away from God. I will never forget if my second discovering God, by then I did it in my house, where we had dinner and a group of people come to my house. And then there was this particular day, there was one lady that came. And nobody knew who she was, because she was invited by a friend, but she found my place, and then she came, she introduced herself, and but none of us knew of her background. And I will never forget, she was sitting by the corner, and the question that was posted was, if you can customize God, if you can make God, what word would you describe? So obviously, during the 2.6 billion scandal, everybody want God that's justice and force. Okay, God has to be just. But when it came to her, she said this. She said, if I can customize God, I want a God that can give me a brand new start. And then she sat herself by the corner, and then she began to weep. She began to weep. She just sat there by herself. We passed her tissue, and she refused to talk, and I let her be. So almost throughout the session, she sat there by herself, weeping, crying, and then when she composed herself, she kind of flowed through with her, with us in the session. Right after that, when we were having a drink, I kind of, you know, gotten to know her a little bit and asked her, and she just said something that, you know, she said, when I say about I wanted a brand new start, I was just reminded of what I went through, you know, and all of that. And long story short, she's actually right now a life group leader in our church. She accepted Christ, she became a life group leader. She is a brand new start. And I thought about, there are people like that. Sometimes the pain was so deep that they don't even know how to describe it. No words can tell what they were going through. And I just want you to know that God wants to draw near. No matter where you are, no matter how hurt, no matter how deep it is. All right, and then verse 10, let me just read verse 10. Jesus answered her. So Jesus had a conversation with her. And Jesus answered her, would you read together? All right, one to go. Jesus said what? If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. You know, Jesus had this moment where I call it if you knew moment. How many of you have a if you know moment in your life? You know, if I knew that cryptocurrency will be where it is. I mean, now it's horrible, right? But if I knew 10 years ago, I would have invested. If you knew moment. Not that I promote that, okay? I don't, okay? I just want to create if you knew moment. You know, sometimes when you drive and then you were caught by police, right? That's like, if you knew the ways, actually will tell you, I should have on my ways. If you knew moment, right? How many of you had kind of those, if only you knew, right? You had all of that. But the if you knew moment for Jesus wasn't for himself, was actually for this girl. And Jesus felt so much for the Samaritan woman. And he wanted, now, can I say this? You know, compassion is a powerful emotion. Sometimes we don't see the fruits, maybe because we were not compassionate enough. I always see compassion opens a new door. Something about when you kind of feel for a particular person, something that you feel for a particular situation, something that you feel for the nation. Compassion is a very powerful emotion. In fact, if you read through the Bible, you'll find that almost a lot of healings of Jesus had compassion, and then the miracles follow suit. Because compassion always opens a new door. So Jesus had this, if only you know. My closest of if only you know moment was actually a guy that I baptized about 3 weeks ago, okay? You don't have to go through the baptism list to see who was that, okay? But there was this particular person that I managed to baptize, and his story was incredible. So his story was, when he first came to our church, I was connected to him. Then I kind of inched into his life a little bit. And I will never forget, about just before pandemic, I knew him. And he told me the story. And the story was this. He told me the story that they were all rather a very happy family, but everybody was busy with life. And what happened was they kind of owned coffee shop, you know, so everybody was day and night working, and they left the elder sister, 2 kids, which is about, I think, 6 and 3 or 5 and 2, you know, kind of that age group, to a maid that take care of the kids. And then he talked about one day, in the afternoon, he was the first one to come back home. And the 2 kids are special to him because he used to bathe the kids and he grew up, you know. And so he really loved those kids. And so one particular day he came back and he found something was wrong because the gate was open, and he rushed in and he saw the eldest child was on the floor, blood was all over, and the child was murdered. And to his sheer horror, he ran upstairs and he found the second child was holding by the maid, and she just killed the second child as well. So if you Google Sungai Buloh, 2 children, that was you still can find news article about this incident. So he ended up in our church through a friend. And he told me the story. Okay, so a bit emotion sometimes, okay? So he said, ever since the 2 nephew died, he says the family changed. He says they don't talk anymore. When come back home, he says mom will stay in the room. The sister who lost that 2 baby will stay in the room. And everybody plunge into depression. This is almost 8 to 10 years ago. He says, no family outing. Nobody talk about it. Just everybody, everything was buried. And so he ended up then, in that particular week in our church. So I will never forget, if you knew moment. I wish for this person so much that if you know how much God is for you. Now, I cannot fully explain if God is so much for him. And I still remember I had this if you know moment. that if you allow God to invade your world, not only will it change you, it will change your family, it will change your sister, it will change your mom, it will change. And so he took on a journey of really wanting to know who God is. So it was 3 to 4 weeks ago, I had the greatest honor to baptize him. So obviously he said yes to God. I became a Christian. And he wanted to get the mom out of the house, because the mom will never always want to come out from the house. So it was his baptism. For the first time, he brought the mom. I had the honor to meet the mom. And we are trying by all means to now get the mom to visit our church. You know, you talk about if you knew kind of a moment. That was the closest in my heart. I felt so much for him and his entire family. But I just want to say this, okay? Every one of us will have a if you know moment. And I think those are the moments that God puts something in your heart and you just don't want it to let it go by. But you want it to be something that God will want to invade someone's life. So Jesus had this, if you knew, kind of a moment. So to cut the long story short, as I wrap up, you know the story. Jesus had a conversation with the Samaritan woman. Jesus used the natural way of understanding about water and connected to living water, and eventually she drank that living water. And she was such a changed person. Jesus drew near and changed her life. So verse 13, Jesus answers, it says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, which is the water from the well. But it says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will, come on, say together, become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You know, I always tell people this. Jesus had an idea of what it means to become a Christian. And one of the best ways to describe the real version of the way Jesus wants us to be is to be a spring of water welling up. And you ask yourself, am I a spring of water or am I a spring of complaint? Am I a spring of bitterness? Am I a spring of disappointment? Am I a spring of discouragement? Or am I a spring of water welling up to eternal life? This Samaritan woman met Jesus and she walked away. She was such a spring of water welling up eternal life. So the Bible tells us that she went back. She threw away her shame. She threw away her past. She threw away about every stigma that people will look at her and label her. She went to the entire city. That water springing up, telling everybody, this Jesus has changed my life. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible tells us that the city of Samaria came out and they hear the gospel. And the Bible says that that was potentially the first time the gospel penetrated Samaria. And you think about that. You think about every one of us. There's actually a Samaria behind us. For some of you, might be the engineering company that you go to. For some of you, might be the taman that you go to. But there's a Samaria waiting. And I pray and I hope that every one of us, when we become a spring of water, and it's just natural because water will always flow unto someone and to refresh someone and to bring hope and healing to someone. That's the version when Jesus think about, if you were to allow, if you only knew, that's what I want to do with your life. Maybe my one question to all of us would be, what could choke up that well of living water? What could have stopped it from flowing? Maybe your bitterness, maybe your choices of life, maybe your pursuit of the world, maybe there's so many things that could have caused us to maybe not the greatest potential that God desires. You know, this particular person that I told you, not only he actually accepted Christ, his girlfriend came to know the Lord. And now on his water baptism, He brought another friend who knew nothing about God to come to witness. And next week, I will have the opportunity to meet his friend who is on his journey to discover God as well. Something about when that living water invades your soul, it naturally becomes a spring of water that flows unto others. You know, so today, I want to draw two applications. If you are seated here and you kind of have your own struggle, you felt God is far, I want you to know that He is actually near. You can always reach out, Pastor Jonathan, you can reach out to me. And I know that I could not in one session like that to really help you. And some people really felt God is not for them. And I wish I can have a conversation. I wish I can help you to see that the way God moves near to every one of you looks differently to different one, because God is very personal. Some of us are very cognitive type. Some of us are very feeling type. I mean, God has His own way to reach out to all of us. But you must know that God is actually not far from each one of you. The second application is, I want to encourage you that you desire to be the well of spring water, just as the Bible describes it. And that you are able to go to your Samaria. You're able to go back to your own town, your own city, your own friends, your own clan, and whatever, and to help them and tell them that what God has done in and through your life. Can I go to amen? Why don't we pray? Okay. God, we are so grateful to you that you are actually not far from each one of us. You have a way to inch into our soul to revive us and to help us to see that what you have for us is way and far greater than the world can offer. When I think of the Samaritan woman, there was so much. She got the brunt of the world. She was hurt. She was ashamed. She felt she wants to redo life, run away, hide herself. But when you invaded her world, you redefined her world. And that's what you can do. So I pray and I ask you that every one of us seated here today, we will draw near. And we'll walk away and say, God, could you invade my world? Could you change my world? My marriage, my life, my parenting, my discouragement, my own depression. God, could you do that and help every one of us to be a well of spring waters unto others? So I pray, give us that desire. Give us that vision. Give us that sight. Lord, we bless everybody. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen. Amen.